You are a whistleblower. I have a good idea of who you are or who you probably are already, because if it's sensitive data, there's a limited amount of people who have access to it. It's not like the stuff that was given away by Manning, which was accessible by a million people through the military network. If you are a big deal, I was going to say something rude, if you are a big deal whistleblower and you've got really, really sensitive stuff, Snowden-level stuff, there's a limited number of people who can get it. And by the way, since Snowden, it's even harder to be a whistleblower because there's really, really good audit trails which can't be erased and can't be circumvented on info. So they know the 20 people that looked at this piece of data that is now on the front page of the New York Times, or more likely Guardian or something like that, or Al Jazeera. Hello, Al Jazeera guy who I spoke to before. So you say, you know what? I'm going to put on rubber gloves. I noticed in the back in the Hope stock room, there were boxes and boxes of rubber gloves. I'm wondering why. And that's actually really true. So you say, you know what? I'm going to put on rubber gloves. I'm going to go get a box of envelopes that's never been opened so my DNA isn't on it. I'm not going to lick it. I'm going to get water. I'm going to take all these crazy steps, and I'm going to mail it. Well, first of all, when you print something out, every digital printer, every laser printer, micro embeds the printer's serial number in the page now. Every single one that I know of. Certainly Brother, Hewlett Packard, all the big ones. So first of all, they know what printer it came from. There's a guy I've been looking for all day. I'm doing a case with him right now. In Germany, we have a guy who sent out bogus invoices, and we're going to lock him up in Ulm, Germany, because the printer that he sent the bogus invoices from has been seized by the German tax authorities. So we're going to be able to compare it and put his sneaky butt in jail, and his two partners who are named Odie and Captain. So first of all, you've got the micro-embedded printer. Second of all, how many people know that every single letter, show of hands, how many people know that every single letter that's mailed in the U.S. is photographed? Holy moly, more than half the room. You know, you guys are great. You guys are really, really great. Honestly, if it was any other crowd, there would be a hand, and it would probably be like the postal inspector who's surveilling me. Every single letter. So unless you're going to hitchhike to Milwaukee to mail the letter, they know where it was mailed from. And that narrows down the circle of who it could be. Now, profiling people. There are tinfoil hat area. I say that because this is the scariest stuff. This is the scariest stuff. Target marketing. Every book you buy, every music you listen, every song you listen to, every place you go, every credit card charge, every OnStar, every Easy Pass, every swipe of your subway card, it's buffered. Now, let me tell you, not just the feds. Let's talk about New York City for a second. New York City is adding 7,000 to 12,000 cameras a year. All networked, all with facial recognition, all part of what's called the domain awareness system. The NYPD has the most remarkable facial recognition system you've ever seen. They make thousands of arrests every year from cameras matched to photos. They sell that system to other police departments for $30 million. It's so good. You want that system, you got to pay the NYPD $30 million. You use your Easy Pass when you go through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, when you go over the George Washington Bridge, and it's reporting your location? Yes, it does. But also through 284 locations in the five boroughs where they have Easy Pass readers that log when your car goes past. Choke points, Lower Broadway, 125th Street and Lenox Avenue, there's one. There's 12 halal carts, those Muslim food carts, that are really undercover food carts that are recording Wi-Fi, recording EasyPass, and recording cell phone activity, and filming, by the way. And they move them near demonstrations and near sensitive zones. So if you're at Occupy Wall Street, don't eat the shawarma. That's all I'm saying. ALPR, automatic license plate readers. There are 400 in the city of New York. 200 are stationary, 200 are mobile. Every parking lot, every street, they're the two forward-facing cameras on the back of police cars. They can film 60,000 license plates an hour. If I want to know where your car was parked 2 weeks ago, not a problem. It's in the system. And by the way, it's a private company that gets all these photos, even when the police take the photo. Everything there is to know about you, the marketing companies want to know. Are you straight? Are you gay? Are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you black? Are you white? Christian, Jewish? They want to know this. Now, frankly, kind of creeps me out. They want to sell you stuff based on this, but it kind of creeps me out. And I can tell you, depending on how intensely you've been, if you are over the age of 21, they've been gathering data on you already for 7 years. They start your first year in high school, where you go to school. Once you go to college, they start offering you things like credit card offers and book deals and travel and Cancun and things like that, and they get more and more and more information on you. By the time you're 21, by the time you're out of college, you're already intensely in their system down to a granular level. And these are all the areas that they gather from and amalgamate. Direct mail, call center, in-store networks, websites, email, displays. I mean, everything you do is aggregated. And it's remarkable. There's a story the type of data about you that can be extrapolated out is amazing. There's a famous story. Germans are really, really good with databases. Really, really good. So, my buddy from Germany right here. There was a famous story when Volkswagen reintroduced the bug. I tell it every time I talk. The bug had been out of the market for 15 years, and they didn't know who would buy it, and they couldn't find all the previous owners that loved it. And they did intensive marketing surveys of all the people who bought it. And they found out two things. These people disproportionately owned cats, and they ate chunky peanut butter. So they got together everybody they could who had a cat and ate chunky peanut butter and marketed like hell to them. And four times the normal rate, these people went and bought the Volkswagens. You can extrapolate out. The political outfits do this all the time. Karl Rove for the Republicans, Voters Vault for the Democrats. If you drink clear liquor, white wine, vodka, stuff like that, you are more likely to vote Democrat. Bourbon, Fuddruckers, guns, you're a Republican. I mean, it's astounding. It's astounding how accurate these marketing extrapolations are. And really, I can find out everything that I want to know. And they have Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, Twitter. They grab all of that crap. They merge it with your purchasing activity. They merge it with your offline activity. How you can be angry about the NSA grabbing your phone metadata, which is really kind of bullshit, and not be angry about this is beyond me. Not be furious about this. Everything. How much discretionary income you have, how much money you make, how much money your household makes, what you do for work, what your house is worth, your ethnic code, your religious code, everything, 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 everything. Do you have allergies? Do you have arthritis, cholesterol, diabetes? Are you disabled? Do you do homeopathic medicine? Do you like organic food? Are you a senior with senior needs? And so on and so on and so on. All of this gathered. Are you a new parent? Are you an expectant parent? You know how they know that? Because they buy this crap up from the doctor. How do you think you get a free coupon for Huggies 1 nanosecond after you give birth? That's how. And they segment it. Platinum oldies, well-heeled retirees, hard chargers, well-educated and professionally successful, kids with clout, tots and toys. They segment you down to the tiniest, tiniest level, like sand on the beach. And they just keep going after you. Are you straight? Are you gay? Are you black? Are you white? Are you a Christian? Are you a lefty? What are you? And they keep marketing. And they predict not only what you like, but what you're going to like as you age. They know a guy who likes X at 18 probably likes Y at 25 and Z at 35. They're waiting for you. They know what car you're going to drive. If you're driving a beater with a primer paint job today, they know in 4 years when you start making some serious dough, they need to market their asses off for a new car to you. And they really, really know stuff. Butter, white wine, Fig Newtons, fruit-filled cookies, Red Lobster, Volvo, yoga, you went for Hillary. Olive oil, bare naked granola, lattes, blech. Cheesecake Factory, Panera, and Starbucks, Barack Obama. Bourbon, stuffed crust pizza, Fiber One, Hardee's, Fuddruckers, BMW, and by the way, probably also disposable diapers, McCain. Sorry, I had to say that. I actually like McCain. It's ridiculous. To the point, people who believe in alien abductions are more likely to drink Pepsi Cola. I swear. Okay. A, no heckling, and B, put your tinfoil hat back on. Data mining credit card uses. It's astounding. Database milestones. I mean, I'm going to zip through this, but if we read every word of this, you would see they follow every damn thing you do. And here's a typical profile. This I won't skip because it's creepy. Guy's name, address, phone number, photos. He's in his mid-40s. He's Caucasian. He's married. He's a tradesman. Sports and outdoor stuff. Single family house worth $1 million. He's a male. He's a Pisces. He has children. Some college. He's a homeowner. He's been there 17 years. What does it say for neighbor? I can't read that. Oh, below average neighbor. Not at $1 million. He plays tennis. He plays football. He enjoys NASCAR. He loves to travel. He likes music. He likes R&B music. I mean, this is one schmuck. And they have that on everybody, on everybody, on everybody. And let me tell you, when I'm going to your house and I'm questioning you as a witness and I want to know who's opening the door, I do two things. I check to see, do you have a gun permit? And I pull your marketing profile. Because believe me, I bullshit like mad. Social engineering, baby. You'll be at the I'm sure you're all going to go to the social engineering panel later. If I know you're a Barack Obama guy, boy, I bitch about those Republicans in the South. If I know that you are a stars and bars waving, you know, Led Zeppelin listening to Southern, 25-year-old male, God damn, that Barack Obama's destroying America, isn't he? And it gets me in the door. It does it. This is the most important thing we're going to talk about, and check it out, exactly 8 o'clock. De-anonymizing data. This is the important stuff for whistleblowing and for your lives. Quick example. I use this all the time, but it's the best one out there. You are what you Google. You are what you search. You are what you have an interest in online. In 2006, the Congress, I guess Lamar Smith, discovered the Internet. Ooh, there's an Internet. And there's this thing called search engines. And they're gathering information on people. What does that really mean? We're going to have a congressional hearing. Your tax dollars at work. So they subpoenaed every search engine. Yahoo, Google. Back then there was something called Hotbot, which is long gone. And AOL was one of the ones. And everybody responded differently. Yahoo said, bite me. Google turned it over. AOL took a middle path. And they said, we're going to give you all the search history, but we're going to anonymize all of the people and their searches. And they turned that over to Congress. Once you turn something over to Congress, unless it's a secret hearing, it's public record. So the New York Times, God bless their pointy little heads, filed a FOIA request for all the AOL search data because they wanted to prove how easy it is to de-anonymize it. Sure enough, you have somebody who was only, I love this pointer, you're not getting this back, AOL searcher number 441-7749. Here's her searches. 60-year-old single men, landscapers in Lyburn, Georgia, Shadow Lake subdivision, Arnold, and dog that urinates on everything. So, not brilliant Sherlockian detective work. They went to the Shadow Lake subdivision in Lyburn, Georgia, found somebody named Arnold, who was in her 60s, and had a dog that urinated on everything. And it was her. Not real hard to figure out. That is the most basic level of de-anonymization. You all need to check out this Panopticlick. Spooky. Your browser is unique. It is possible to do something called browser fingerprinting. By the time you've added in the fonts that are unique to your system and the plugins and the operating system and everything else that makes your browser and your system unique, and I'm not talking about the MAC address. I mean, the new Apple operating system, I understand, is going to have revolving MAC addresses. God bless them. They're not doing that, by the way, because they love you and want to protect your privacy. They want to be the only guys that possess the information about what you're doing on your system. Same reason that Google now encrypts Gmail and search. It's not encrypted from them. It's encrypted from anybody else. But Panopticlick, your browser is unique. Absolutely frickin' unique, even if you don't have cookies, even if you delete your browsing history and delete your cookies. There are entire think tanks, primarily selling to the government and to law enforcement, remote physical device fingerprinting. I look at your computer, oh, it's Bob's computer. Ridiculously easy to do. Ridiculously easy to do. Just like photos, you've just got to have the base set. Once you've identified enough computers, you can say Bob's computer, Julie's computer, Muhammad's computer, whatever you want to do, because you've got the base set and you can match it. And there are companies that do nothing, by the way, today but device fingerprinting, and they have billions and billions of matches. Now, that's in addition, of course, to cookies, browsing history, download history, embedded graphics, because you guys are you guys. I'm not going to explain what all of these are. Micropages, passwords, personal data in search strings. I hate that. You do a search, and the entire search, a phone number, a social security number, everything, appears in the URL. Thank you very much. Things like form, which Google is now doing. ISP URL collection. You have Verizon? You use Verizon? You type in a bad URL, it knows exactly what you've done and it sends you alternatives because it's looking at and buffering every search you do, every URL you navigate to, and every ISP does that. Even DNS corrections. Routers. Man, thank you, Snowden. Probably the only other good thing you did. But there are backdoors in routers, and routers are insecure. They really, really are. Flash cookies, respawning. Now, here's the scariest thing. Forensic linguistics. This gentleman, who used the name Henry L. Mencken, 1951, is, in fact, an assistant U.S. attorney by the name of Sal Perricone. Why do I have his picture up there? Because he's actually an assistant U.S. attorney, a federal prosecutor, who gave a damn, really gave a damn about one of his cases. And he cared about it so much that he started blogging about what a weenie the defendant was. And he didn't say anything that wasn't in court, but this was a really good blog. This was a ferocious blog. So the target of the blog figured out it had to be this prosecutor from his courtroom demeanor. And he says, is this you? And Perricone says, bite me. I don't have to tell you anything. So he filed the lawsuit, and he subpoenaed Perricone. And in the pleadings, he said, listen, Perricone uses words that nobody else uses, like dubity. Dubity. That is the state of being dubious about something. I have significant dubity about this claim. No such word. But Sal Perricone used it, and Henry L. Mencken used it. This is a ridiculous example. So they subpoenaed Perricone, and Perricone admitted it, and he lost his job. He wasn't going to perjure himself. But I want to tell you that there are forensic linguistics programs now which are amazing. Do you put a comma before and, even though it's grammatically incorrect? Do you do last word, period, space, parentheses? Do you use unique subject verb arrangements? Do you use dot, dot, dot a lot? Do you use dashes a lot? Do you use small paragraphs, like each unique discrete thought is a separate paragraph for emphasis? All of the unique writing styles that you have by the time you're 18 are a fingerprint. And the study of that is called forensic linguistics. And it's really, really good. And it's really, really fast. And they don't even have to have a base sample. They just take the anonymous posting or the anonymous email or the anonymous blog or the anonymous letter to WikiLeaks that they've intercepted, and they compare it to everything else that you've ever done on the web. And they can pretty damn well figure out it's you. They really can. When J.K. Rowling wrote her first anonymous book, they had a feeling it was her. I don't know how they had a feeling, but they ran forensic linguistics. Two forensic linguistics experts ran her book against her other books, found hundreds of forensic linguistic hits, confronted her. She said, okay, you got me. And these mysteries that she's doing now, these PI books, by the way, come on, PIs are much more interesting than these little wizards anyway, you know? Anyway, so they identified her. Photos. Forget about facial recognition, which I'm going to show you. Facial recognition is really, really, really good. Every photo that you take, every photo you distribute, has not just EXIF tags, embedded serial numbers in there, but, hold on, there's something called camera noise signatures. You can strip out the EXIF tags. I had the slides in the wrong order. I realized they're too late. You can strip out the EXIF tags. You can strip out all the identifying digital information, but you can't strip out the unique fingerprint that your camera sensor has on the photo. I teach undercover school to a particular federal agency that puts people into high-risk situations overseas. And this is an example that I use. Not all FBI guys are bad, and in fact, some of them are wonderful human beings and great Americans. And this is one of them. It's a guy by the name of Jack Garcia. Jack Garcia was also known as Jack Falcone. He infiltrated the Gambino family. He busted up the Gambino family. He is the only federal agent in history where the mafia so bought his undercover, and he was so good at it, and he's such a damn charming guy, that they wanted to have him around, that they offered to make him a made man in the mafia. Unfortunately, he had to go out and shoot somebody. That was a requirement. So they rolled in and arrested 23 Gambino guys before that actually happened. And I pointed out that if he tried to do that today, this is the Daily News article. That photo, by the way, he's a gigantic guy. He looks like a mob guy. I ran it through Google Image Search. I'm sure you all have used Google Image Search and TinEye and whatever for the poor man's facial recognition. Well, let me tell you, I put him in, and it comes up right at the top, FBI agent. You cannot be anonymous anymore. You can't. And as you're going to see, even a tiny portion of your face, even a tiny portion. Now, by the way, this is the area a couple of blocks from here, Bryant Park, in 1998. Few cameras. 2003, few more cameras. 2008, it's almost a black square. Today, 3,800 cameras in that area. If you walk from here to Bryant Park and back, you are shot on camera, estimated, 115 times. One of those is going to get a good picture of you. You know that thing that you see in the movies where you go and you have the briefcase and the person you're meeting with has another briefcase and you put them down on the park bench and you pick up that one, he picks up the other one and you go your own way and you've delivered the data? You're screwed. I know who the reporter is. I know the reporter was sitting on the park bench. I got a picture of you meeting with the reporter. Facial recognition, I know who you are. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Barack Obama's inauguration. You know, my friends have 24 megapixel Nikons that they think are amazing. One friend of mine has a Hasselblad that's like 50 megapixels, which is unbelievable. There are now cameras that are 1,400, almost 1,500 megapixels. They can take one picture of a Super Bowl game, one picture, click, get everybody in the stadium, good enough to recognize their face. Here is Barack Obama's inauguration, the first time this GigaPan was used. If you want to see something amazing, go to the GigaPan website, and they let you play with their photos and zoom in. Here is Barack Obama's inauguration. Closer, closer, closer. From that to that. No problem. And this is the old technology from 2008. The inauguration, by the way, the funniest thing, I took a picture of these two guys right here because they look like mob guys. They're congressmen. No, they really are. They you know, they're wearing the hat and the sunglasses and they're looking very furtive. And a friend of mine in the Secret Service, when I was preparing this slide the first time, like 6 years ago, he looked at me and he says, "What are you collecting pictures of congressmen for? Should I be worried?" I said, "I didn't know they were congressmen. I thought they were mob guys." That's the picture, and this is what you can zoom into, and the technology is exponentially better now. So first of all, you don't see a camera? No problem. Camera sees you. Here's an example in London. 67 cameras introduced. 96, from 67 to 96, only 500 cameras. By 2008, 4.2 million cameras. In New York, we're horrified. We get hit 100 times by cameras going for a walk. London, 300 plus times. Drones. I want to tell you, as a private investigator, I use drones. If there's a big fence and a big sign, beware of dog, and there's a snarling dog, no problem. $300 Brookstone drone goes up 50 feet in the air, looks in, no car parked in the driveway. I'm going to wait for the guy to come home. Everybody uses drones now, but especially law enforcement. There is something now called militarization of police forces. All the stuff from Afghanistan that they got to get rid of because we're pulling out, they're going to police forces. You need a Bearcat, you need 20 M16s, you need some drones. Every police force is getting it. Helicopter drones, Miami police. By the way, they lost one of them. They have no idea where it is. Okay. Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. You take the thing, you throw it like that old wind-up toy when you're a kid, it stays aloft for 3 hours. This is a hybrid drone. This is a moth, an honest-to-God moth that they have put a brain controller and a camera in. The moth flaps into your room, takes a picture of you, flaps out. Not a joke. Not a joke. Called Cyborg Fly. Here's something called the Devil Ray. The big problem is keeping the damn thing aloft. No problem. The Devil Ray has two wires that come out the back. It hovers on a power line. It sucks up the juice, recharges, and off it goes. Yeah. Okay. Drone in a box. Drone in a briefcase. You open the briefcase, and off it goes. Butterfly on the wall. You see that? Developed in Israel. Little thing. Looks like a butterfly. It's a drone. with, by the way, a really, really good camera in it. That's, by the way, that's the close-up of it. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to show you the video. This is a helicopter drone. Texas. I got a house in Texas. I love the cops in Texas. They don't just have drones. They have drones with grenade launches. Gotta love Texas. Gotta love Texas. This is a private photographer built a drone. That's a modified Devil Ray. Private hobbyist. They even have drones used by sports photographers following the guy, hovering over football games. This is a drone with a really good camera in there, with a 20-megapixel camera. Here's another one. I don't have time to show you the video of this, but this will follow you into your house, perch on a windowsill, film everything, and tell people when it's safe. This is a military drone. Tell people when it's safe to kick in the door. And by the way, this is coupled with standoff imaging radar that can actually see people walking around in a house through the wall. Okay, here's another one. This is Harvard RoboBee. This is a brand new one. That's a quarter. That's the drone. This is the new Parrot drone. Anybody who wants to can buy this for a grand. 20-megapixel camera, stays up for 12 minutes, and you can hot swap. Okay. So, you guys know about Reddit, right? Reddit and cats and all of that. A guy on Reddit, his cat that he really loved, died. He turned it into a drone. Okay, could it be Photoshop? I'm sure it could be Photoshop. But it was on Reddit, so it must be true. Anyway, cat drone. These are current drone operations in the United States. Current military drone operations. Actually, not current. It's like from 2 years ago. I'm sure the map is like one big drone now. Militarization of police forces. New York City has cameras everywhere. These are good SPECO cameras. They transmit to the mothership. They go to one central location. They're matched with facial recognition. Helicopters stand off 2 miles away, facial recognition and ALPR. Oh, all right, my mistake. This is the Google satellite thing. They have this thing called Skybox, which, of course, I call Skynet. From 500 miles up, sub 1 meter resolution. 500 miles up, if it drops down just a little bit, it can read your license plate. Google will have 50 of these. And what do they say? They say, well, it's to enhance Google Maps. Honest to God, that's what they said. This is the clean room where they're building the first satellite right now in Mountain View. If you guys think I'm making this up, hey, you're smart, smart, smart guys. Do independent research. Everything that's mated with the cameras. If you want to be a whistleblower and you want to get from point A to point B anonymously, you can't. You can't. You drive, gets your license plate. You walk, gets your face. Even if you look like the Elephant Man, you put a bag over your head, you have one eye sticking out, 5% is sufficient for facial recognition, and they also have something called gait recognition now, where they're identifying the way people walk. They can follow anybody. Once you're targeted, they can follow you down the street from camera to camera to camera to camera, and it can analyze what you do. Are you walking? Are you talking? Are you fighting? Are you meeting? What are you doing? What are you doing? 50 states now do facial recognition on every driver's license, every U.S. passport, every gun permit. Every time you submit your photo now to an official agency, it's scanned for facial recognition. Why do you think they tell you not to smile at the DMV? Not that you're likely to be smiling at the DMV, but why do they tell you not to do it? Because the best facial recognition, the best data points are if you're not adjusting your face. You don't walk down the street grinning unless you're a mental patient. So they want you not grinning so they can follow you walking down the street. People get arrested all the time from facial recognition. Now, real world examples. Brother Putin sent Russian troops into the Crimea. He's confronted for it. He goes, oh no, I would never do that. Okay. France goes, you know, au contraire, Monsieur Pants on Fire. We can prove it. And how did they do it? Facial recognition. By the way, I stole this from the New York Times, so if you're from the New York Times, bite me. They got Georgia 2008. Here he is with his special forces patches, looking like Sasquatch. And here he is in Crimea, same guy, facial recognition. Russian special forces guy, Crimea. Maybe the Russians really are there. Here's another one. Special forces recon unit. Special forces recon unit in Ukraine. Even with a face mask on, there's enough of the face. They have the type of mask. They have the uniform, the gloves, the ammo pouches, and the pants. And also, he's carrying a non-standard weapon that they don't use in the Soviet Union, almost, Russia, with the silencer. They were able to identify this guy as Russian Special Forces, even with a mask on. Israeli Mossad unit went to Dubai. Hamas money guy buying missiles to launch into Israel. They killed him. Good job, guys. How did they identify who these people were? From camera images in the hotel. Camera images in the hotel matched to people who came in with passports into Dubai. Trust me when I tell you, Dubai does not have a swift law enforcement system. If they can do it, imagine what American law enforcement can do. This is real, real, real world example. But forget about real world. I had a contract to find deadbeat dads in Illinois. I took the pictures, matched them from the deadbeat dad photo to MySpace and Facebook. And I found all the guys, where they were living, what they were doing, where they were working. Illinois collected a lot of dough. Texas sex offenders, people who weren't supposed to be online. Here's his sex offender picture. Here's his Facebook picture. Now, by the way, this guy was the easiest of all. He used his pedophile booking photo as his MySpace photo. A lazy, lazy, lazy child molester. This is honest to God, not a joke. Okay, the point is, you wear a disguise, no problem. Probability 95%. Photo enhancement, it's blurry. That's an actual blurry photo, enhanced. So you wear a better disguise. Any of these areas are sufficient for identification now. You don't need the whole face. They even have something now, so help me God, I mean, it screws me if you look at me, called nose prints. Nose prints. If your nose is sticking out, if you're wearing one of those Canadian, you're a Canadian, you know the ski mask where the nose is sticking out so you can breathe? They know who you are. I mean, you rob a bank in Alberta, you're in trouble. Okay, you travel by car. Automatic license plate readers. The guy drives along, forward-facing cameras, sometimes one on the dashboard, 60,000 license plates an hour. Where you're parked, where you're driving, everything you're doing, where your car is. And they are owned, these databases. I use them all the time. I run people's license plates all the time in cases and find out where the car has been parked regularly. And if I find a place where it's parked two nights in a row, I'm parked there that night. This is a private system. It's used by automobile repo guys and private investigators and U.S. government and Customs and Border Patrol and the NYPD and the Marshal Service. And I could go on like this for hours. It's so good that now in the United Kingdom, if you haven't renewed your registration and you don't have insurance on your car in the system, it won't allow you to pump gas for your car. It turns gas off. It looks at your license plate. Ah, no car insurance, no gas. True. It's good enough that private industry can target you and micro-transmit to the radio in your car. Hey, you hungry, Bob? There's a McDonald's next exit. Not making this stuff up. Now, before there was Google Glasses, Mr. Glass all over there, I predicted that this was going to happen, that people were going to have facial recognition with a little hard drive, and they were going to be able to walk into parties, and some woman, you have no idea who she is, walks up to you, hey, Fred, how are you? And it automatically pops up like, Julia, husband Bob, three kids, you saw her last week at the Christmas party. Hey, Julia, good to see you. It hasn't been that long. Okay, well, Google Glasses 2012. Now you have DARPA glasses. DARPA glasses are ALPR for walking down the street. They're looking for people. They just walk down the street with this. And it looks at everybody's face, finds matching characteristics, puts up an alert, a red line under the head. No, I'm serious. It really does. A red line under the head. You look and you go, nah, that's not the guy. You look, nah, ah, that's the guy. DARPA's developing this. Here's the worst thing. Digital contact lenses. I am going to be able to walk down the street, this guy, interracial porno. No reason why I pointed at you. Okay. Interracial porno, right-wing Republican, was at Occupy Wall Street last week, federal agent, hacker. I'll know all of that. Digital contact lenses. Listen, I'm making jokes, but this is in the future. It really, really is. Law enforcement is already using portable DNA readers, portable facial recognition from license plate databases, portable fingerprint readers. All of these technologies are moving out into the field. Maximum. For the DARPA glasses in the U.S., maximum 2 years that people from tactical patrol forces that respond to riots and demonstrations will be wearing them, and not just checking out are there any wanted people in the crowd that give them a reason to go in and snatch somebody, but they will be photographing everybody in the crowd and indexing the person. They will know from cell phone signals. By the way, in 2012, I talked about how everybody's cell data was grabbed at the Occupy Wall Street demonstrations from tower dumps. Everybody went, not true. 3 months later, it was reported in the Times. I'm telling you that this is what's going to be done. Everybody who attends a demonstration is going to be identified. Everybody. No anonymous demonstration. I mean, I guess you could all wear the anonymous masks. They'll still get you from your cell phone signal and the car that you parked nearby and your Wi-Fi and your tweets and everything. NYPD, in the past year, from facial recognition, arrests in 11 homicides, 124 robberies, 111 larcenies, and 89 assaults, just from facial recognition. This is their, this is the mothership. This is the NYPD mothership, which 20,000 private cameras, 300, it's actually 400 or more, ALPRs, domain awareness system, 500 special cameras that they put out when things are happening, and 10 halal carts. It's actually 12, I think. The Matrix, yes, don't heckle. Even if it's intelligent heckling. Facial recognition programs are being sold left and right by everybody. Now, we are amazingly on schedule. I've never been on schedule in the past 10 years. New technologies, gait recognition. You can put a bag over your head, gait recognition. Honest to God, real thing. Gait recognition. FBI is going to have the most remarkable biometrics database. And there's now something called biometrics from a distance. They can shoot your iris from a distance. Iris on the move, it's called. So they've got the biometrics, beep, they know who you are. Fingerprint analysis from a distance. Honest to God, it's a thing. I want to know if you're lying. I want to see if your pulse rate changes when I question you. There are cameras that see your pulse rate through the veins in your face and your head and tell me the probability if you're lying. I can look at you with glasses that change the wavelength on what I'm seeing, and it will give me the probability of whether you're lying or telling the truth. And if I match that, by the way, with voice stress analysis, the accuracy goes up. Eye tracking lie detection. Now, here's the spookiest thing. This was developed to catch pedophiles. You have a naked, abused kid in a pedophilia photo, and these photos are traded all over the place. They wanted a way to be able to see who the kid was looking at, and they developed a technology that allows to de-blur the iris and to see what face the person is looking at. This is a real thing now. This is legitimate. You can Google, this is the scholarly paper, identifiable images of bystanders extracted from corneal reflections. This is a real thing. These are technologies that are coming along. Antibody tracing, better and faster than DNA from a distance. Interpretation of activity and behavior. This by itself should be an entire presentation. But here's examples. An Air Force civilian employee moves stock holdings from Boeing to Airbus. You check flights to Iran right before a bombing. You buy a book on fighting cancer. If you buy a book on fighting cancer, it's because you have cancer or somebody you care about has cancer. You rent a gay porno movie. You're probably gay. Not a big extrapolation. You put an address into MapQuest. My favorite is, during the course of a year, you're sitting next to the same woman on a plane four times, and she's not your wife. Obvious. Obvious. Fill a prescription. There are programs right now, NORA, Advise, other analytic programs, that take all your data and connect links. There was a great, great thing that I saw some guy in Yale put together, a relationship thing that shows how if this stuff existed during the American Revolution, all of the leaders of the American Revolution would have been identified and arrested. And it was links to Paul Revere. It was brilliant. Really, really brilliant. Money, bioscans. I can right now, we have right now in our system, your physical location during the past 60 days extracted from online stuff. These are just two examples. Your possible associates, your financial relationships. This is stuff that I do right now in-house. This is stuff that I do. Personality profile, firearms ownership. This is an example. This is an old example of relationship. This is the Enron scandal, and they took all the emails and put up a relationship grid, and this is the person who had all the knowledge. And sure enough, the FBI figured that out and the SEC, after about 5 years of investigation, this figured it out after 24 hours of analysis. These are things that are soon going to be a thing. MRI, investigative MRIs. I can put you into an MRI and determine very, very reliably if you're lying. Thermal imaging, automated face analysis. See through your clothes from a mile away. This is a real thing now being developed for the military. For those of you that actually, you know, read between the lines, let me tell you, HTML5 and IP numbers version 6 are going to make you eminently more identifiable. Every device that you have, they're going to be able to give a unique IP address to. Every device. No more pulling it from a pool. No more recycling numbers. It's going to be a whole new thing. Super cookies. And finally, and this is the last and most insidious thing, what General Petraeus called an Internet of Things. And an Internet of Things is a real thing. CIA, NSA, DEA, larger local police forces are all looking at data and profiling and activity extracted from devices in your car and in your home. I'm not going to go through all of this, but it is amazing. Amazing. Smart homes, smart cars. Smart cars, by the way, are going to be running Android or iOS. Smart watches. These damn Android watches. You are strapping a tracking device to your wrist. If the NSA came to you and said, I want you to strap a tracking device to your wrist like you're a condor or one of these, a moose or a bear or something, there would be a revolution. But you do it for Google? Really? You do it for Sergey Brin? I don't get it. Health monitoring. This is the new thing with Apple. Apple wants to know your workout schedule, the medications you take, everything. And there's even a sensor now that old people can swallow in old age homes, in care homes, that will tell from analysis of stomach contents for an entire month, did they remember to take their medicine? Also what they ate, and if they had a shot of bourbon when Nurse Ratched wasn't looking. Look, everybody knows the target hack. The target hack was done, not just through the Chinese restaurant menu, but because they had a backdoor access to the network through the HVAC system. Huh? Correct. It was through the vendor. They got into the vendor, and then they got further in. That's absolutely correct. It's not an important distinction, though. Okay. No, it's really not. I mean, they got in through a non-traditional method. Here is a milk jug that tells you if the milk is spoiled and if you need to buy more milk. Here is a networked oven. You're at work. You can preheat your oven from your iPhone while you're on the train, which also tells me you've preheated your oven. Nest Labs, which, by the way, I understand has now been bought by Google, it tells, is somebody in the room? And it adjusts the thermostat. And it reports on the activity remotely. And by the way, there was a flaw. You got to read between the lines if you're a good hacker. There was a flaw that if you waved your hand, you know, if the alarm went off, there was a feature that if you waved your hand, it would stop screeching if you were like smoking a big cigar and everything was fine. The problem was if kids were running around in the house, it deactivated. So they went into everybody's nest remotely and deactivated the feature. Reached right into your house, deactivated a feature in your thermostat. This is a thermostat that reports to Google if anybody's in the room of your house. Network trash cans. As an investigator, I do something called trash runs, garbology. If I really want to know about you, I steal your garbage. It's amazing. The biggest problem is, even if you know the trash pickup, you got to go there with your waders on and crappy clothes and the big kitchen gloves and every frickin' night. Okay, no more. There's now a sensor that tells if the trash can is full. I'll know you filled up the trash can. I'll go grab your trash. Okay. Ridiculous. You have to be the worst mother in the world to use this, but this is a Huggies diaper that tweets you when the baby is wet. Everything is being networked. Everything. Your baby's ass is now on Bluetooth. Your baby's ass is now on Bluetooth. It's not a joke. This is a real thing. Some Australian hacker was off on vacation with his wife. He left his teenage daughter in the house. He says, listen, I'm trusting you. This is the first time I've ever left you alone. No parties. No, Dad, I'd never have a party while you're three Australian states away and can't come home. So he had a remote power monitor, and he goes in, and he sees the huge spike in the room where the party would be taking place, and he calls his daughter and he says, "Listen, get those bums out of my house." And it worked. Your stuff is ratting you out. Okay, quick recap. Number one, whenever you put information out there, it's gone. It's gone. You no longer have control over it. You literally don't own it. And you've signed it away by agreeing to terms of service that are 97 pages long and you have no desire to read. Your flashlight app is giving up rights to your microphone and your camera and your location on your phone, as a ridiculous example. Most data available is information that you created and you self-contributed. If there's one thing that I want you to walk away from this talk believing, is that you need to stop oversharing. You need to stop tweeting. The only thing you should make an exception is Steve Rombaum's new TV show, everybody's got to watch it. Other than that, stop tweeting. Stop Facebooking. Stop giving your stuff up to Google. Use search engines like DuckDuckGo that saves nothing. Use anonymizers. Even if it means the NSA is going to follow you, use Tor. Be clever. Make browser fingerprinting hard. Remember, it is always about money. It's always about money. For every data point on you that the U.S. government has, and law enforcement has, and governmental entities have, I guarantee you that private industry has 50 to 100 data points. It is 50 to 1. And you should care about that, first of all, because they have this data, and second of all, because government, with its one little piece of data, now has access also to those 50 pieces of data, and either consensually or not consensually. Final word, final presentation slide. I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that the government does this because they're big brother, because they hate you, because they're evil, like Mr. Snowden says. They have a good reason. They have a good reason. About 90% of the time, they go well beyond that good reason, but they have a good reason. And here's an example. Of the people who hijacked the planes on 9/11/2001 and flew them into various things in America and started this whole massive expansion, they all, except for two, could have been identified. Down, where's my little green pointer? These two guys up here, Al-Hazmi and Al-Midhar, were known to the U.S. government. They were on CIA watch lists. Now, mind you, the U.S. government dropped the ball and let them into the U.S. But the U.S. government knew who they were. They knew that they were Al-Qaeda members. One of them was connected with an attack on a U.S. ship. Another was connected with a bombing in Africa. They knew that these people were not just terrorists, but bad, bad, bad terrorists. They were on CIA watch lists. And every single one of the other terrorists, except for two of them, were connected by data points to these two guys. If the U.S. government had done their job and had done intelligent data mining, 9/11 would have never happened. That's an honest-to-goodness fact. A high probability. Nothing is for sure. Muhammad Atta, connected by an address. Five other terrorists shared telephone numbers. Another terrorist shared a frequent flyer number. Another terrorist shared an address. This is why the U.S. government is looking up your butt with a rubber glove. Not because they really want to invade your privacy or suppress you, not because of the most ridiculous thing that Mr. Snowden said today. A lot of what he said was accurate, but I will tell you there is no class warfare being facilitated by the U.S. government. Not because of class warfare, because law enforcement doesn't know what the hell to do. I'm telling you this as an investigator who works with dozens of federal agencies and law enforcement agencies. They're at their wits' end. They don't know what the hell to do, and they're trying everything, and they're really overstepping their bounds. I mean, a lot of what they're doing is outrageous, and they need to stop, and I believe that just as much as Mr. Snowden. But understand motivation. These guys have reasonably positive motivation. Not all of them. There's knuckleheads like the guys who arrested me because they have no damn sense of humor. But mostly federal agents are pretty damn good guys, and I know these guys, as opposed to Facebook and Google, who do it because they want to sell you crap. That's all. So, two things I want to tell you. If you are an investigator, if you have an investigative function, if you are a law enforcement officer, there's an organization that runs seminars, very, very, very interesting, unique seminars. I teach at a lot of law enforcement academies. So do my colleagues. I am the education chairman of this. Yuri Vyman, where the hell are you, Yuri? Are you here somewhere? Stand up. That's the president of FOI. The membership chairman is also here. I am shilling for them because if you are interested in these types of topics, high-tech topics, advanced law enforcement topics, and you have any kind of investigative function, go talk to this guy and you would be amazed. The classes we run for free. Second thing, this is shameless self-promotion. I've never done this before, but this is one of the cooler things that's ever happened to me. I've got a TV show. Please watch it. If you don't think it sucks, tell other people to watch it. If you do think it sucks, keep it to yourself. Have you even seen it yet? Huh? Ah, you know what? I suck at this self-promotion thing. Thank you. Okay, you're forgiven for the camera thing. It airs August 4th. On Investigation Discovery, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, and every Monday thereafter. And hopefully, until it'll continue till I'm in the old detective's home. Anybody who wants to use the video, the presentation, you have my absolute unreserved waiver. You can use it. No copyright, non-commercial purposes. I mean, if you're going to start showing this in a movie and charging tickets, I want a piece of the action. Q&A, I can't believe it. Bernie, where are you?
Right here.
We're actually going to have Q&A.
12 minutes.
Yeah, that's what you think. Okay, you know what? I'm kind of blinded, but is there a mic or something? How are we doing this? Do you want to take this? Does this... Okay, honestly, I can't see beyond, like, the second row.
We don't want you to see us.
I can't see you, but trust me, we know who you are. Oh, wait a second. Swag. Do you have my knapsack? Can I have my knapsack? I've got swag for you guys.
That's good.
Okay. Oh, yeah, good. I can see you there.
All right. The Skybox
video. Oh, God, he has notes. So, I'm screwed now. Go ahead.
So Skybox, that's Google-owned. They actually do satellite video.
No.
And
Oh, come on. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a bad detective. It's right here.
Okay, just a few points. So Skybox, which is Google-owned satellite company that you were mentioning, actually does video, satellite video. But the resolution is fraction limited, so you can't get good resolution from high up, which is why you need what Facebook bought, which is basically aerial drones. So these are planes that are solar-powered and stay in the sky all the time without landing. And there's also a...
I'm sorry, what are you asking?
I'm just some notes since your presentation. Okay.
No. Hey, brother, don't walk away. Listen, I didn't want... Now I feel bad. All right, Where's the guy? Is he identifiable? Come on back. He's walking out of the room. Listen, I swear to you, I love you all. I'm not trying to chase you out of here. I feel terrible now.
So, next question.
Okay,
what's the success of jamming the databases with crap data? You know, I'm going to go buy a book on cancer right now just to protect myself.
It's called Anonymity Through Obscurity. It's a theory. It sucks. Let me tell you why. If you are a... I mean, I'll just be ridiculous. If you are a 25-year-old Chinese stockbroker that lives in Manhattan and uses an iPhone and drives a Volkswagen, if suddenly a different 25-year-old Chinese stockbroker that lives in Manhattan and drives a Volkswagen and has an iPhone appears, I'm going to know it's you. And if you're talking about submitting crap data to the databases, crap data has to have substantiating stuff. Did you really buy the book? Is there really a credit card charge? Is Dolores really your girlfriend's name? If it is, have you friended her on Facebook? You would have to go to so much work to create all of... Wow, that's real anonymity. No, honest to God, there's a... Okay, can we undo that? Okay, mysterious voice, let me finish. I understand the theory, and it works if you're a government where you can generate all kinds of chatter and all kinds of chaff. But for a normal person, do you really want to spend enough time? Do you want to spend an equivalent amount of time creating a separate persona with all the substantiating stuff?
No, I don't.
That's your answer. Enjoy your T-shirt.
Thank you.
So you talk about all of these systems that you have access to where you can look up any of us and pull up all of this information. If we are interested in seeing what other people have access to, how do we get access to that information?
That's a fair question. And I have kind of a slippery answer for you.
All right.
But at least I'm telling you up front it's a slippery answer. On one hand, I absolutely... Oh, and let me put my contact info up there. On one hand, I absolutely positively agree that everybody should have the same access to the same data. I believe in freedom of information. I ferociously believe, in public records. You should have a right to know if your nanny is a child molester or your bus driver is a drunk or whatever, you know, and who's living next to you. On the other hand, unlike one of our previous speakers today, I also believe in classification of information and real need for information. I don't want the general public to have access to my Social Security number. I don't want some stalker to be able to find his girlfriend who's been trying very hard to be away from him. There's no good answer, and there's no answer that's going to satisfy everybody. If you're asking, do I think that you should have access to the same databases as me? Frankly, no, I don't. I really, really don't.
All right. What portion of this information can I see? Like, how do I know this information...
Is that mic dead? It is dead, isn't it? Oh, well.
Okay. The volume apparently was down.
Okay.
So you're saying I don't get access to any of this information.
I didn't say any. I think you should have access to a lot of it.
How do I get as much as I can?
First of all, learn Google Foo. Google Foo, everything is out there. Frankly, the first thing that I do is run a search called Gorilla Trace, which is an investigative meta search that goes to Google and Facebook and Twitter and all the public search engines, and I never get less than 100 or a 200 page report with photos and history and friends and family and all of that. The only difference between what I do and what you do, it's going to take you about a half hour longer. That's the first thing. The second thing, learn about public records. Understand public records. You can go online and get a deed, a vehicle registration, a voter registration in most places in America. You can get 85, 90% of what I get. Just learn how to do it.
Okay.
That'll be $20 for this tutorial. Next.
Hey, so when you brought up gait recognition...
I'm sorry?
When you brought up gait recognition, recognizing how people are walking automatically...
Oh, gait recognition.
Yeah, so when you brought that up, I thought of Cory Doctorow's book, Big Brother, because he talked about foiling
Ministry
that.
Of Silly Walks?
Yeah, well, they said, you know, put stones in your shoes and things like that, so you walk weirdly. But what do you think is going to happen when enough people try to do that? How are they going to... foil that, and what do you think of that whole...
Guy is holding up a large number five. What does that mean?
5 minutes.
5 hours left.
5 hours. Okay. Oh, we're good. Oh, good. Okay.
Well, you're asking me when
I just
do
want
I think,
you to expand
what,
on
are
that.
You asking me when do I think gait...
No, what's your reaction to that idea of...
Gait recognition?
The gait recognition, the putting the stones into your shoes, and...
I didn't hear the second one. Somebody...
Putting stones in your shoes, defeating...
I'm like in a dead zone here for the sound.
Defeating... The gait recognition.
Okay,
by doing things like putting stones in your shoes. Got it?
Put the stones in your feet.
Okay.
Yeah, put the stones in your feet. I love it. Sorry.
Yeah. Listen, trying to defeat this, okay, I got to say it, is self-defeating. look, there is no way that you are going to interfere with every tracking method. I mean, are you really going to walk down the street with a ski mask, you know, walking like Monty Python and buying all your clothes at Salvation Army so they'll think you're the previous owner? And I mean, we could get really ridiculous.
Okay, so barring that silliness, what do you think someone might do?
Barring that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop giving people the ability to gather this information.
And how do you go about
it? If they don't have a baseline, if they don't have a file they can compare you to, they don't have a file they can compare you to. And by the way, gait recognition, I'm pretty sure they're not going to have 300 million people's walks, you know. Buy a pogo stick. I mean, I don't... okay, sorry. Listen. At a certain point, you make yourself crazy. At a certain point, it's tinfoil hat stuff.
I think most people have given up on that whole privacy thing at this point. We just accept it.
Now, by the way, because... Oh, geez. Okay. Next question.
Okay.
Is that really true? 2 minutes?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Wait. I'm out of T-shirts. Sir.
Okay. I guess continuing on anti-forensics for biometrics, I was wondering what's your opinion of wearing like a facial prosthesis for... facial recognition. We saw Groucho Marx disguise last year.
Same answer.
Uh-huh.
The gentleman, because you can probably hear him as badly as I have as much trouble hearing him as I do, he asked, what about a facial prosthesis? I mean, if you want people calling you Pinocchio, God bless you. I mean, it's a terrible idea. No. I mean, if you're at the point where you're freaked out that much, work to change the damn laws, which is what you should be doing anyway.
And
really.
The other thing with automated license plate recognition, specifically, I found out there are license plate covers sold online that can change from transparent to opaque, depending on if you're passing a current through them or not. They're called electrochromic license plate covers, and they're actually still legal in some states.
And your question is?
I'm just putting that out there. That's
okay,
the technology
consider
for getting
it put
about
out.
It.
Next. Listen, I want to tell... Can I take, like, five more people, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the next five people, if you don't, you know, give me a Shakespearean soliloquy, we'll get in five more people. Ma'am?
Brennan recently said that he was concerned that future CIA agents and other law enforcement agents would have a difficult time hiding their identity
in the networked world.
What is the national security state and law enforcement doing now technologically or in their thinking to prevent this, or and how can it be explained?
Absolutely brilliant question. Absolutely brilliant question. She's pointing out that it's a double-edged sword, and CIA people and intelligence agents and undercover agents who are out there assuming personas and risking their lives, what do they do about this? Because it's life or death for them. Let me say, I teach at an undercover school for a particular federal agency that puts a lot of these agents out there, and not bad guys, really, really good guys. I mean, ninjas for America. And I'm not going to tell you all of the things that I tell them for really obvious reasons, but I will tell you it's a nightmare now. You present the motorcycle gangs now have applications, membership applications, where you have to put down the last 20 years of your life, where you went to grade school, your parents' names, your social security number, everything, and they hire dishonorable private investigators to check it out. And they go and they look at the high school yearbook photo of the guy who's supposed to be Bob Jones from Athabasca or whatever. It's a nightmare. It's really, really tough. It's a double-edged sword. Brilliant question. Brilliant question. Sir?
Hey, welcome back to Hope. Great talk, as always.
Man, you have like a soul singer voice.
I'm a singer. Earthdriver.org. That's my website.
Okay.
Free lectures and information and some soul music. It's kind of a nice combination.
Okay, what's the question?
But anyhow, the
question
is, all these technologies that you've been underlying for, you know, underlining and showing the development of for all these years, after all these hopes, has it corresponded with arrest numbers? Millions of missing people suddenly been found?
Another good question. Another really good question. What's that glow-in-the-dark stuff you got? All right. Sit down, man. Sit down. So it's a really good question. All of this stuff is being done to, great question, is being done to catalog us and pigeonhole us, and is it actually translating into an equivalent, a commensurate reduction in crime rates and catching of terrorists and finding missing persons? No, not at all. Not at all. You still got to go old school. And that's a brilliant, brilliant question, and it's a brilliant policy decision-making question. The horrible invasion of everybody's privacy so far is not even remotely justified by real results. Awesome question. So you two guys, and that's it. You and then him. Okay, whatever he said. Do you have a question?
Okay, yes. So it's clear that at this point, everything about humans is public information, and it's only increasing exponentially. My question is, how bad do you think it's going to get in the future in terms of, like, oppression?
Exactly the title of the talk. Privacy is dead. It's gone. It's buried. You can't get it back. Now what you need to be fighting to save is anonymity. The ability to have an opinion without it being connected to you, or a religious practice, or a political practice, or be a whistleblower, or walk down the street without people saying, Bob walked down Fifth Avenue at 10 o'clock. There's one, you know what? Another thing that Snowden brought up that is a good analogy is global warming. It's just like global warming. We are at the tipping point, now or never. Now or never global warming, now or never privacy. Or anonymity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Last question.
Have all the psychics been fired from special services?
What?
The psychics have been fired from special services.
Have all the psychics been
fired from special
Wait,
services?
Let me ask them. Not yet. You know what? Perfect last question. God bless you all.
Now you can stretch your legs. Was that a great talk or what? He's still...